Hello and welcome to Social Media Ministries. My name is Spencer Kaufman. Thank you for being with us today. We are kicking off an excellent sermon series that I'm calling The Resurrection, Heaven, Hell, and Purgatory. So make sure to stay tuned. You can find the playlist on YouTube, also on our website. So make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. Like the videos. I encourage you to comment below as well. Be kind and courteous and supportive if possible. Also check out our Facebook page, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. You name it. Like I said, today we are kicking off a sermon series, The Resurrection. So it's going to be about Jesus. He died, what he did when he was dead, and then when he rose again, he was alive, so he was never really dead. We'll get into all of that. We're also going to talk about heaven, hell, and purgatory. Now, for some of you, you might be like, whoa, wait a minute. Purgatory is not a thing. We'll get there, okay? Believe me. Heaven, hell, purgatory, we're going to talk about them all. Today, we are talking about hell. We're going to start off with the worst of the worst. Hell is definitely a place you do not want to go. Now, one thing I want to say is look around. Look around all the people, your neighbors. They're very nice. Look at all these great people around. Guess what? If you don't do something, they're all going to hell. Seriously. There could be the nicest people you've ever met, but they're going to hell unless you bring them to Christ. So this is a push. You gotta bring people to Jesus. You gotta introduce them because otherwise they're going to hell. There was a skit I saw one time and it's super impactful. I'm just gonna tell you a little bit about it because the punchline is a real kicker. And it's about this guy and his neighbor, and they're in the afterlife, and the neighbor says to the guy, because the neighbor's going to hell and the guy is going to heaven, and he says, "You knew and you didn't tell me?" That's pretty huge. You know the way to heaven. You know how to get there. And you aren't telling your loved ones or your neighbor or your friend or your family member? You're not telling them. When you get to the afterlife, they're going to look at you and say, "You knew and you didn't tell me." And they're going to be condemned. And they're going to go to hell. And they're going to be miserable. And you're going to heaven. Now, that may not happen, but that's something to think about. What if that happened? What if your loved one was saying in the end, "I can't believe you knew and you didn't tell me"? Pretty powerful. So get out there and share Jesus and make sure all these people start going to heaven. Let's go! All right, so today we're talking about hell. What is it? Hell is the worst place. This is the worst place of all time. Believe me. Now, I haven't been there, but it is literally the worst. It is a place you definitely never, ever want to experience. The concept of hell, not the word hell, so we're going to dive into you people who really like the analytical today. This is a good one for you. The concept of hell is mentioned in the Bible many times. Interestingly, the Bible, though, never says the word hell. Huh, why are we talking about hell then if the Bible never says hell? Well, today's translations, some biblical translations say hell, but traditionally, original Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Old Testament, New, hell was never mentioned. So what did they talk about? Well, they used about 30 to 35, the word Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. That is the old word. It means, translation, literal, is the grave or the pit. This is many times in the Old Testament. Like I said, 30, 35 times, depending on your translation. Psalms talks about it a lot. So when you're reading and you see that word Sheol, or you'll be like, oh, that's what that is. It means the grave or the pit. Now, this didn't just mean like in a casket like today. This was literally like the afterlife, the grave, the pit. This was what they called hell. Now, another word that they've used in newer translations, or this was more in Greek, was Hades. This is in the New Testament. Hades, which is about 10 times. Now, this, of course, you know Hades from probably Greek mythology, again, Greek, and so they use the word Hades, so that all makes sense. It kind of lines up properly. Hades, hell, we kind of get that. I'm going to propose that we're later on when we get into this, we're going to separate those two, and that there were actually levels of hell. which they talked about. Hades was like the introduction one, and then after that was like hell, which was, this was pure misery. That's where the purgatory is going to come in later in this sermon series. So stay with us. This is a fascinating topic. I really enjoy it. So be prepared. We're going to dive really deep. We're going to get into it. You got to get your Bible out. You get some historical companion texts. Dive in, find some commentaries, comment on these sermons. Let's get some discussion going because it's fascinating. Okay, Hades about 10 times. The most modern translations, sometimes it's about a dozen. So Hades is anywhere from 10 to 12 to 13, 14 times. Now, another word that is used, this is called Gehenna. Now this is more Greek, this is newer, this is more of like the hell. So Hades would have been like that first level, then Gehenna was used as hell. This is 12 times in other translations. And then we have one time where we see this is like the real hell. This is like hell of hell. This is called Tartarus. And this is the place that was like the end of the end, the deep pit, burning lake of fire, worms eating your flesh, nastiness, horrible, rotting while you're on fire, worms eating you, pure torture and torment. And we're going to get into that a little bit more later on. The concept of hell, though, those times, those words, Sheol about 30 times, 30, 35, Hades about 10 to 13, Gehenna 12, and Tartarus once. Now, the concept of hell, though, is talked about more, probably about a dozen more times throughout the Bible. We have the weeping and the gnashing of teeth that Jesus talked about in the New Testament. We have the parable of the sheep and the goats. We've got Lazarus and the rich man, very famous story. We have the Revelation, lake of fire. We've got the pit. We have Paul's everlasting destruction. And there are several other instances that are talked about. Hell is basically very, very terrible. You never want to go there. Every time it is mentioned, it is horrible. It is a place that is separation from God. God is not with you, and that alone is hell. So you could have hell here on earth, and you could be living in hell if you are living apart from God, and you are turned from God, and He turns His back on you, which He won't do. He's going to keep chasing after you, but you could keep rejecting Him and be essentially separating yourself from God, which in my mind, any separation from God is hell. I want to be with God all the time. And so seek God, draw near to Him, and the Bible says He will draw nearer to you, and you can be literally creating a great paradise here on earth by drawing closer to God. If you separate yourself from God, you could be creating your own hell here on earth. Not like the deep pit, not like Tartarus, not like worms eating your flesh, but it's a separation, it's a type of, and so it's a level of hell. Don't do that for yourself. Hell is a place of torture and torment. The place of lost hopes and dreams. Anything you ever wanted to do, you'll be able to look at it in hell. You'll be like, I should have done this. I should have done this over and over again. You'll know it'll be a pure regret. Your mind will be torturing yourself over and over, and your body will be being tortured over and over. Fire, worms, decay, rot, pain times 1,000. It'll be like in the movies where they give you a drug that sensitizes your pain so that it's like 10 times worse. It's going to be 1,000 times worse. A little prick of your finger is going to cause you to just scream in agony because it'll be miserable. And it's not like a chopping off of the finger where it's a one and done or something. It's going to be like it's on fire, burning, but you'll never ever lose the feeling. So like when you burn your finger, sometimes it could go numb, or you get frostbite, sometimes it goes numb and then you don't feel it anymore. Or if it falls asleep, you know, you could like smash it with a hammer and you don't feel it. Guess what? You're going to feel it on and on and on. This is miserable. You'll see everything you could have accomplished and you didn't. That's going to play over and over in your head, in front of you. Regret, regret, lost hopes, dreams, and then the deepest thing is you're going to realize and understand that you have no hope. There is no way out. There is no hope for you to leave this place. There is nothing to look forward to because it's all done. Whereas here on earth, at least when you have a bad day, you could be like, boy, I can't wait till the weekend. I can't wait till I get my day off. I can't wait for a holiday. I can't wait for this. Not going to happen in hell. There'll be no I can't wait for, because you're not. There's no hope. If I haven't convinced you that it's a bad place, then I don't know, man. It's a bad place. You don't want anyone going there, so get out and tell more people about Jesus. Each and every day there, you'll be filled with regret and despair. This is miserable. You'll be frustrated beyond belief because there is no hope to change the situation. You'll be stuck there forever. If you don't believe in Jesus, you will be stuck there forever. So if you do believe in Jesus, share Jesus with more people. But hell was not made for humans. Wait a minute. What's going on? You just said we'll be stuck there. We're humans. Uh-uh. You are in a human body right now. You're in a human body. But what you are is a spiritual being. You have a spirit. You have a body. You have a soul. You have a spirit. Your spirit is a spiritual being. You're in an earthly body. This is what is going. You're here in an earthly body. You're a human right now, but you're a spiritual being. Hell was made for the rebellious angels and demons. Now, you're a spiritual being, so if you rebel and reject Jesus, hell could be made for you too. This is from Matthew 25:41. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now let's, before we dive too deep into this, let's go over to Tartarus. This is the only time it's mentioned in the Bible. It's in 2 Peter 2:4. So 2 Peter 2:4. "For God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell." Tartarus, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. Hell, Tartarus, this is a place where God is putting the angels and the demons and all those who rebelled, and they are being held there for judgment. Now, we skip ahead to Revelation, and this is where it talks about the beasts, and it says, "Then there will be a time where those who are held for judgment," that's where they are in hell right now. It's like the first level of hell. It's Hades. They're being tortured day and night. There's no hope, but they're waiting there for a worse impending doom. So it's like they're stuck there without hope, but they have one thing to hope for. That is even more punishment, even more agony, even more suffering, where they get cast into the deep dark abyss under the sea, and the oceans cover them, and they're locked in that eternal pit forever and ever. And that's like the lowest level of hell. That's like the worst. So right now, they're in torture and punishment, and eventually they get cast into that lake of burning fire and sulfur, and then they're there forever. And there's no hope. So save people while they're here on earth. Save their being, save their spirit, get them to know Jesus so they can avoid all of those layers and levels of hell, however you look at it. Let's dive a little bit more into Tartarus. What is this? Tartarus is the closest translation to hell that we have. Hades, yes, it's like punishment. Sheol is the pit or the grave, so someone could argue to you that it's not really hell. But Tartarus, it says, eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This is bad. This is hell. And so this is the closest translation. It's a place worse than Hades, which is normally known as the realm of the dead. So Hades is the realm of the dead. This is like, again, we have these levels, and we're going to talk more about this as we go on. We had in the Old Testament, or before Jesus died, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves, so stay tuned. I'm going to give you a little sneak peek. Jesus, when a believer died, they went to a place called Abraham's bosom, or paradise. You know this because the thief on the cross that believed in Jesus in Luke, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He didn't say heaven, he said paradise. This was like a place where all the believers went, and then they waited because they couldn't get into heaven until Jesus died and finished his mission. Then they go to heaven. So if you die today and you're a believer, you go to heaven. You don't go to paradise, you go to heaven, because Jesus made us a direct link to heaven. Before, we had to go to this Abraham's bosom place, this paradise, and we were waiting for Jesus to bring us into heaven. Now when we die, we go to heaven. In addition, the unbelievers, they went to a place called Hades, or the realm of the dead. We see this in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus and the rich man, where he says, just please give him some water to cool my tongue. He was in Hades, the realm of the dead, the Sheol, the pit, the grave, this place right here waiting, could be purgatory. He's waiting for his impending judgment. Now, this is still there, because God has not come back to do the final judgment on Satan, the angels that have rebelled, and all of these spirits, or us spiritual beings who have rebelled and who weren't Christian, weren't saved, didn't believe in Jesus. They're all waiting. They're waiting in Hades, this place of punishment, this place of burning fire. Finally, on the last day of judgment, they will be thrown into the eternal abyss, the lake of fire. So, that's kind of our levels. That's also where we get purgatory. Big sneak peek. Hope you stay tuned for the rest of the sermons as we dive in to each of those things. But Tartarus is the closest translation to hell. Hades, the realm of the dead. So Tartarus, this was a real place. Eternal torment in Greek mythology. Gehenna was also a literal place. So today, this is a valley in the Middle East, with Gay Ben Hinnom Street running in the middle of it. In the time of Jesus, so when Jesus was around, this was a place of evil. This was like the trash dump. Seriously, this is where people dumped all their garbage, where if they had a lame animal or something like that, they'd take it there to die, and it'd be alive, wailing and screaming. This is where if people got terminally ill or something, it sounds morbid, they'd go dump them off to die. Criminals who were stoned and beaten and left for dead, they would drag them into this place and leave them there in agony and torment. People would be screaming out. People with leprosy were probably there. People with the full of bandages. These people were there. They were alive, and it was a trash dump. So what happens when all of this stuff decays? It stinks. It burns, because heat happens when stuff rots. Worms and maggots come and eat it. And so these people, or these lame animals, or people who are invalids or cripples that were just cast out, they were there as well. And worms would be eating them while they're alive. They're screaming in torment. The place is hotter than heck because it's number one in the desert. Number two, it's got all this rotting stuff around them. It's stinky. It's filthy. People who were city servants and workers would also go there and start fires to burn up some of this filth and get rid of it so that they could make room for more that comes in. So it was a place of ashes, fires. That's what Gehenna was. It was a real place. So when Jesus would talk about this in the New Testament, he would say, hey, Gehenna, and people instantly knew, oh, whoa, I don't want to go there. That's where they send the bad people. That's where they send the invalids, the cripples. That's where they send people who are left to die. That's where the lame animals go, where they're literally being eaten by worms while they're still alive and they're crying out in torment and agony, hoping to die. This is a bad place. We don't want to go there. It was a place of evil, a place of fiery torture, a place where pagans would go sacrifice. And so that's where we get the people. It might be a normal person. Pagans bring them there, start beating them up, chopping them up, cutting them open, and sacrificing them while they're still alive. This is a bad place. It was a trash dump. They also burned the dead bodies there. So they'd take them outside the gates of town, and that's where they would cremate people and burn them up. So this was a bad place. It was perpetual fire, worms eating flesh, horrible, horrible, nasty place. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 30, let's go there. Chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into Gehenna. That's what he's talking about when he says that. It is for one of your body. Other translations just say hell. But he was saying, like, hey, cut off your hand if it causes you to sin. It's better for that one part to go into Gehenna and be burned up than for your whole body to go there and be burned up. And people are like, oh man, I don't want to go. So that is in Matthew. 6 of the 12 mentions of Gehenna are right there with Jesus talking about it. James 3:6 is another one. So let's jump over to James. James chapter 3, verse 6 says, The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by Gehenna, or other translations, hell. Very interesting. That's what it's saying, Gehenna. And then people knew, like, oh man, we know that place. You can look this up. It's a literal place. It's a valley right now with Gay Ben Hinnom Street running right through the middle. That's where Gehenna was. Horrible place. People knew they didn't want to go there. So, back to Tartarus. When God judges the people of this world, all the demons and the spirits will be cast down into hell, or Tartarus, the eternal pit. Right now they're in Hades, the realm of the dead. They will be cast into eternal hell, which is Revelation 20, verse 3. When John is talking about this, he says, he threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he will be set free for a short time. So that's during that 1,000-year reign. We have some short videos on that. Maybe someday I'll do a big sermon on it. But basically, when God comes back to judge the world, he's going to cast everybody into that pit, into the deep abyss, lock up the gates, put the oceans over them. They're locked in fiery torment, hell, for 1,000 years while Christ reigns over the earth. We're all here. It's going to be perfect paradise, pure heaven on earth. And then after the 1,000 years is done, boom, we all go up into the real heaven, true heaven, in the sky. God lets all those people out of the abyss, and for a short time they're going to reign and terrorize the world. Then God destroys the earth, and they get locked into hell forever, Tartarus forever, where it's the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, as we saw in Matthew 25, 41, and also we read about it in 2 Peter 2, 4. Hell is a place to avoid. There is only one way to avoid hell. You must believe in Jesus. John 14, 6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means no one. Do not be a rebellious spirit. Save those that you love here on earth. What do you love? Do you love their body? No, that's lust. You love their spirit. When you're in love with someone, or when you have siblings or relatives or friends that you love, I'm not talking romantically, I'm saying you care about them, you care deeply for them. You aren't in love with their body. You're not like, man, I care so deeply about your hand. No, you care about them. What are they? They are not a body. This is a shell. This is a house that we live in. This is the temple we live in. What is a person? We are a spirit. So if you say, I really like that Spencer guy, he's a great preacher, he really hits home to me, you don't like my body, you don't like, oh, that's a nice suit, that's why I like him. No! Oh, that's got nice skin, that's why I like him. No! Oh, he's got a nice beard. No, I'll shave it off. No, that's not what you're liking. You're liking the spirit, because my spirit is on fire and it's talking to you and you are liking it. So if you care about anyone else in your life, you are caring about their spirit. Do you want that spirit to go into Gehenna, Tartarus, the pit, Sheol, hell, Hades, whatever, all of this eternal punishment saved for the devil and his angels and those who rebelled against God? Or do you want him to go to heaven? Do you want that person, that spirit, to go to heaven? Hopefully you want them to go to heaven. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through him. Introduce them to Jesus and bring them into heaven. And I really hope you stay tuned for the rest of this sermon series. We're going to be diving into it in a lot more detail. So stay tuned. And if you have any comments or questions, please put them below, because this is an awesome and important topic. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the ability to dive deep into your word, to get into what it really means, to learn more about hell, and about what a horrible place this is. And Lord, I pray that you would put the fear of God in all of these people watching and listening and seeing this sermon, that if people scroll past it in their feed, that they click on it, that they watch it, and that they stay tuned, and that they become hooked, Lord, that they just see, like, oh my goodness, this is a place I have to not be in. I have to make sure my friends, my family, my coworkers, my loved ones, my neighbors, I need to make sure everyone stays away from hell. Lord, give them a huge motivation, a fear of God, because guess what? You can send them to hell. That you will judge. You are perfect, Lord. And we know that, and we trust that, and we know that if you're a perfect God, you can't have imperfect people. And so then it's not like you're choosing to send us there. We're choosing to reject you, and then that's where we go. You're telling us ahead of time, here are your results. You can either do this or this. Lord, I pray that they would choose you, that they choose heaven rather than choosing hell. Because it's a choice, and we can all make it. And so God, every single Christian out there, every single person in the believers in the body of Christ, fuel them, light them on fire, put the fire of the Spirit in them to get out there and start saving people, grabbing them out of the depths of hell, and while they still have a chance, while they still have hope here on earth, that you would inspire them to save as many people as possible so that we can just superpopulate heaven and that hell would have very, very little population of us spiritual beings here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I can't stress it enough. You do not want to end up in hell. You want to be in heaven, and you want every single person you know, talk to, care about to be in heaven as well. So get out there, share with them. If you don't feel like talking to them about it, just share a sermon with them. Say, hey, will you watch this? It's 25 minutes. And then let them decide. Stay tuned for more sermons. I hope you love this series. God bless.